The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Good morning. I gotta tell you, that last song, sitting up here, excuse me, standing up here, and I had the coolest memory while we were singing it, part where the rocks woke, I'm not gonna let the rocks cry out. I was youth pastor for my grandpa at the church in Beaumont, California, and on the way in, grandpa told me, here's a bag of rocks. I want you to hand a rock to everybody that comes in today. Now, me being me, I'm thinking, this is a really bad idea, Grandpa, because if you don't do good in the message today, they could stone you. His message that morning was based on the scripture that said, if we don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. And he said, got choked up. He gave everybody a stone. He says, hold up the rock. That's your reminder to praise God, or that rock will do it for you. And I looked at him, I thought, you know, for an old guy, you're pretty smart. Well, good morning. Title today is The Big Comeback. Finding your way back. You know, we've been talking a lot about spiritual warfare and oh, here's how you take control of the devil, that what they don't, all this stuff. But you know what? Every now and then, let's just be honest, we get our behinds kicked. Okay, let me go back. Again, not you guys. I know, because you guys are all perfect. It doesn't happen to you. Us mere mortals, however. So what do you do? So everybody loves a good comeback story, don't they? There's something great about a good comeback story. So in the movie Nacho Libre, Nacho is finally fighting Ramses, the big dude, you know, the big King Kahuna. And in the early parts of the match, let's be honest, Ramses is rearranging Nacho. He's pretty well having his way with him. And so that's where we get into this clip. Nacho's about to lose. He's been pretty well getting his behind kicked the whole time. And so we get to this. Oh, what up in the video? Uh-oh, video's gone. Well, here's what happens in the video. I don't know what happened. That's weird. In the video, he sees, you know, the nun that he likes. Okay. That has no hope of happening, obviously. Okay. But he sees it, and then all of a sudden, he starts coming back. And then you see Jack Black, who's probably just above psychotic in real life. He's dancing around. He beats the guy up, dancing around and stuff. So there we go. A lot of us can relate to the fact that the video is gone. No, a lot of us can relate. You know, I think what happened is the moron that put the sermon slides in probably skipped that slide. I'm that moron. Okay. A lot of us can relate to this, though. We get kicked around by life. We think the world has us beaten. We need to find a reason to fight. We need to find our big comeback. Let me tell you something. The world will tell you that failure is fatal. That's not God. So we're going to talk today about a guy who knew what it was like to, through his own disobedience, by the way. Sometimes things happen to us and we say, oh, well, you know, the Lord just tests me. Sometimes things happen to us because we're stupid. Okay, again, not you guys, of course, just me. Liars. Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, God tells Jonah, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. Now, as we go through this, understand, Jonah didn't mishear God. It's not like God was Bad Bunny and mumbled through the halftime show. Anyway, Jonah didn't mishear God. God didn't say, well, you know, I really like you going to Nineveh. No, God was pretty, I'm pretty sure when God speaks, it's pretty emphatic. Yo, dude, go to Nineveh. That's how we talk to you. Go to Nineveh. So Jonah didn't mishear him. He just didn't like what God said. That ever happen to you? The look on your faces right now, like, I don't know where this is going, Jerry, but I really don't like it. Buckle up, buttercup. It's going to get worse. If we're honest, we've all had a Nineveh, a place we didn't want to go, a person we didn't want to forgive, an assignment we didn't want to accept. Hello? There's something in your life that's a Nineveh. And God said, go. And he said, well, wait, I'm a little hard of hearing this side, Lord. Can you say it again? See, the problem is that even when you run from God, he doesn't run from you. Understand, if God tells you to go to Nineveh, he's not going away. You kids think that if you ignore your parents long enough that they'll forget. I can tell you as a parent, that's not true. If I tell you to go do something and you don't do it, it's like, oh, that's right, I did tell you. No, I remember. And I'm going to ask you again and again and again. And then eventually I'll follow that up with the right hand of thunder. Must control fist of death. See, Jonah had a clear call. It doesn't get much clearer than verse 2. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Call was clear, instructions were specific, but the mission was uncomfortable. Now, here's the thing about in Nineveh. Nineveh is not a nice place. It's not like he was saying, hey, you know, go to the Bahamas. No, go to Nineveh where the people are evil. The people of Nineveh were so evil that when strangers came into their town, they didn't leave. Well, not in one piece anyway. They would cut their heads off and stick them on poles through the middle of the town and then use their bodies and set fire to their bodies to light the way down the roads. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of like my head where it is. It's not a great-looking head, but it's my head. You know, I've said before, I can stick my face in a bowl of dough and make gorilla cookies. I get it. But it's still my head, and it belongs here. I don't have much of a neck, but it belongs attached to it. So when God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh, it would be like God saying to us, Jerry, go down into someplace in Iraq where all the bombs are falling and the people have machine guns. You know, Lord, I'd really prefer not to. But notice what God said. Go. Get up and go. Not go if you want to. Not go if you feel like it. Go if you can work it into your schedule this week. Get up off your behind and go. Jonah's issue wasn't confusion. It was resistance. Some of you right now, some of us, again, probably not you, just me, you're not waiting on clarity. We're waiting on a different answer. God told us, no, you can't do that, or yes, I need you to do that. And we're like, okay, well, I'm going to wait God out because, I'm hoping he'll come up with something different. Do you really think God is that changeable? God says, go. We ask why. I used to hate that when my kids get over there. Why? Because if you don't, I'll kill you. That's why. That's because I said so. Because it would be healthier for you to do it than not. God says, forgive them. We say, but Lord. God says, trust me. We say, prove it. Ooh, that one hurt, didn't it? I heard an audible gasp from the audience. Ooh. God says, go now. We say, I'll go soon. See, when my kids were growing up, If I told them on Tuesday afternoon to take the trash out, and they waited till Thursday to take the trash out, they obeyed. They took the trash out. Problem is, they also missed trash day, which is Wednesday morning. See, delayed obedience is still disobedience. So if you're thinking you can wait God out when God says, go now, you think you can wait God out? You're wrong, because you're disobeying. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. And then there's just flat disobedience. Look at verse 3. Then Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. Jonah obviously is a rocket scientist. The God of creation, the God who created the heavens and the earth, who's everywhere all at once, Jonah says, I'll run from him. All right, Sparky, let's see how that works for you. Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. I don't like saying that word. Tarshish. Makes me feel like Sean Connery. I don't know what it is. Every now and then, the stump comes out of my mouth. Like, what is wrong with you, Jerry? He bought a ticket, went on board, hoping to escape the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. The moment Jonah ran, he began going down. Understand this. The moment he took off, life in his life took a downward turn. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He was in the belly of the ship. He went down into the bottom of the ocean eventually. When you run from God, you never level up. You go down. If God's calling you to something, we're going to talk a lot about calling today, because I believe God has a calling on all of our lives. Some of you may be struggling with a call to do something here at Remnant, to teach in the kids' ministry or take on a project. God may be calling some of you to the ministry. I don't know what God's calling you to, but here's one thing I do know. You can't head for Tarshish and get away from it. So God gives a divine disruption. Verse 4, I love this word. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea. Notice that God didn't just send one. He didn't like, hey, here's a little wind for you. He hurled it. Pulled back that storm, got his big Johnny Bolo punch going, and wow! He hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Youch! Any M. Okay. God sent a storm. Listen to this now. God sent a storm not to destroy Jonah, but to redirect him. You with me? If God wanted Jonah dead, he'd have let him drown. If God wanted Jonah dead, he could have struck him dead anytime he wanted to. He's God. He has that power. Some angel could have shown up in the middle of the night with a sword and said, hey, Jonah, bye. Bye-bye. Well, goodbye. God sent a storm to redirect Jonah. Hey, Jonah, I know you're thinking you're running away from me, but what you miss, Sparky, is that I'm really big and really powerful, and you're going to do what I tell you to do. See, I would rather obey than have God hurl a storm at me. Amen? Some of you have learned the hard way. I'd rather learn the easy way, because I'm kind of a sissy. God could have killed Jonah anytime he wanted to. Instead, he sent a storm with purpose. Sometimes, some of the storms in our lives are not attacks, they're interventions. God sends a storm our way, and we say, you know, oh, this is horrible. And God's saying, wait a second, I'm saving your life. I'm making your life better by sending a storm that's going to stop you in your tracks and make you stop and think about what you're doing. I don't want God to have to intervene in my life that way. So it's better to be obedient the first time. Little hint from your Uncle Jer. Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there'll be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. You have to run laps in football practice. That is not fun. If you run laps and you think it's fun, you need to see a psychiatrist right away. All these people that go jogging and running and, oh, it's fun. You're out of your minds. God wants us to be better, so every now and then, he gets out the right hand of fellowship. You understand what the right hand of fellowship is? Used to use on my kids' behinds when they got out of line. Shmank. And I would tell them, I love you too much to let you be this kind of kid. God sometimes gets out the right hand of fellowship and says, I'm gonna paddle your behind because I don't want you to be that kind of person, the kind of person that's headed for destruction, the kind of person that's headed for evil, the kind of person that's going to wreck their lives. I will do whatever I can to keep that from happening in your life. If you leave God and you walk away from him and disobey him, you're going to run through a whole bunch of roadblocks that God's put in your way to keep it from happening because he's not willing to let you go. Before you rebuke every storm in your life, maybe stop and ask God if he sent it. God, I'm going through it right now. God, spare me from this. Maybe stop and say, wait a second, God, what am I supposed to learn here? What can I learn by going through this? What good is going to come out of my life? Because here's the thing. If you're going through a storm, there's peace on the other side of it. The fish wasn't punishment. It was preservation. That fish was graced with gills. God said, you're going to Nineveh, even if I have to carry you there myself. Oh, I skipped a verse. I love this. Jonah 1:17. The Lord had arranged for a great fish, doesn't say whale, great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. I prefer to believe, because if I was God, this is how I would do it. It was a big 40-foot goldfish. With the Jaws theme, dun-dum, 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 dun. I just think that's funny. Jonah, they kick him off the ship to keep him from dying, keep everybody else from dying. As soon as Jonah hits the water, the storms go out, which all the people on the boat are like, oh, that guy was bad. Then God sends a fish, and again, that fish is not punishment. God's not punishing Jonah at this point. He's saving Jonah's life. He didn't drown in the belly of the fish. He had a chance to think. Now, I don't know that I could think in the belly of a fish with all the fish guts and other stuff that's in a belly of a fish. What do I know? Sometimes God will disrupt your comfort to rescue your calling. Oh, but my life is so good, God. I don't want to go do stuff. Okay. But God's not calling us to a life of leisure. God calls us to a life of service. God calls us to a life of ministry. And make no mistake about it, every one of you is a minister. You may not be a pastor. You may be a music minister. But you're a minister of some sort. A minister is one who serves. God's calling you to minister to the people around you. I've told you a million times, you don't have to change the whole world. You just have to change the part that rubs up against you. If I change my part of the world, you change your part of the world, what happens when those two parts get close together? Ooh, now we're changing more parts of the world. Now we're changing more parts of the world. Now all of a sudden, Remnant has a reach that goes beyond the city of El Centro to Imperial County, beyond Imperial County to the state, beyond the state to the country, beyond the country to the world. Why? Because we did what God called us to do. And I know. But it's just me, Jerry. How big's God? How big is your God? I serve a great big God. I serve a God that can take the meager, humble things that I have to offer and expand them to change the world. I'm waiting. When I get to heaven, somebody that I don't know is going to come up to me and say, hey, Jerry, you don't know me, but you give a message to a youth group in San Pedro, and one of the kids from San Pedro went on to become a youth pastor, and that youth pastor touched the heart of this other guy, and then he led me to Christ. Where are you from? Somewhere on the other side of the planet. Who knows? In your mind, can you think that God's going to do something like that through you? If not, you need to rethink your concept of God. God's not calling you to a life of ease. He's calling you a life of service, and the service goes far beyond your little puny life. So Jonah prays a desperate prayer. In the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, oh, Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. It's amazing how spiritual we can get when we run out of options. Isn't it? I've tried everything on my own. Lord, I know you're there. God's like, yeah, I've been here all along. All that time you were running the opposite way, I was still here too. All that time you were disobeying me, I was here. All that time you were paying the price for what you did that was wrong, I was there. The belly of the fish is going to do three things. It'll break your pride. Ouch, ouch. That hurted. Ever had your pride broken? It is ugly. It is ugly. You sit in a little puddling mess of your life. It'll silence your excuses. My grandpa used to say that an excuse is the lie in the skin of the truth. And it'll clarify your dependence. What do you pin it on? God. That's not a bad place to be. We want to be so independent. We're Americans. We're rugged individualists. Americans. Okay. Just remember there's that stage in life where we're dependent on our moms. You know, we're born, can't feed yourself, can't take care of yourself. Mom's got to do it for you. Lord knows dad's not gonna. Dad, take you out of the bag and hose you off, but he's not going to change a diaper. Then we get kind of independent, and we start knowing things, and we can change ourselves, and we can decide what we want to wear to school, even if it's stupid looking. And everybody thinks that independent is the last step of being mature, but it's not. The last step of being mature is knowing that you're interdependent, that I need people around me. I need people to show me the way. At the same time, I need to be able to help other people find the way. And I throw all of that out because the very, very last part of maturity is being totally dependent on God. Recognizing your dependence on God. You're trying to be independent. You're trying to be all these things without God. Man, you are just whistling past the graveyard. We are totally, we should be, we must be totally dependent on God. The belly is uncomfortable. The belly of the fish, it's uncomfortable, but it's transformative. Jonah said, my salvation comes from the Lord alone. That's what the belly of the fish will do to you. I've tried everything myself. Okay, it's God and God alone. You know you're ready for a second chance when you stop negotiating and start surrendering. I would love to tell you I was brilliant and came up with that, but I read it somewhere. That's a pretty good line. You know you're ready for your second chance when you stop negotiating and start surrendering. Okay, God, I'll go if you'll do this. Nah. We don't negotiate with terrorists. Or idiots. Okay, God, I'll go. Now we can talk. Because then comes a powerful second chance. I want you to know, look at this. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. And he said, go to Nineveh. And it's so easy to skip past this. But look at that. God spoke to Jonah a second time. That's grace. That's God saying, I know you ran. Now go. It's not a replacement. It's not a demotion. It's not a lecture. It's the same call, the same assignment, the same God. Yes, you ran the opposite direction because you're not very smart. You ended up in the belly of the fish. Now you stink. Now go. Your failure did not cancel your calling. Jonah did all of this stuff, and God didn't say, well, okay, don't go to Nineveh, go to Tarshish, go to Joppa, go to this. God said, no, go to Nineveh. Why? Because God had something tremendous for Jonah in Nineveh. Jonah was just too stubborn to see it, too scared to see it. Here's the twist, though. The second chance wasn't just for Jonah. It was also for Nineveh. Understand, this is a godless place. They're doing whatever they want. They are damned and doomed to destruction, and God sends Jonah to them. See, your obedience affects people you haven't even met yet. But so does your disobedience. Because look what happens in Jonah 3:5. People of Nineveh believed God's message. And from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. Jonah's disobedience put this off for a while. Jonah had never met these people in Nineveh, but his disobedience cost them time with God. If Jonah stayed in Tarshish, a whole city would miss revival. If you stay in rebellion, someone misses their breakthrough. Understand what we're playing here for here, folks. This is life and death. This is not just, oh, there's no real circumstances, there's no real repercussions of what I do. No. When God calls you to do something, that's life and death in the balance. God doesn't call you to silly stuff. Well, God's calling me to set up the chairs in the... Great. Set up the chairs. Be awesome at it. You say, yeah, but that's not really touching the hearts of people. Really? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know that because the chairs looked nice when somebody came in, they didn't say, you know what? There's a good feeling here. And that's all the Holy Spirit needs to start working in their lives. Do not ever underestimate what God's calling you to be and do. From the smallest to the greatest and the greatest to the smallest, we're all the same. Jeremiah and I get up and preach on Sundays, but don't think that we're any better than anybody else. Well, he might be. I'm not. He's nicer than I am. If you stay in rebellion, someone misses their breakthrough. I don't want to stand before God and say, and here, you know, I'm waiting for God to say, okay, hey, Jerry, you were a pastor, you did all this stuff. And instead say, hey, Jerry, here's all the people you could have touched if you'd been obedient. Wow. I don't want to hear that. Here's all the places you could have ministered if you had just listened. Some of you are running. You're in a storm. You're in the belly. And some of you are standing at your second chance. Where are you in this list? Because most of us are somewhere along this list. And if not, you're about to be. Understand this. God's not done with you. Wherever you are here, God's not done with you. The clip from Nacho Libre, Nacho's about to about to lose. In fact, Ramsey says his foot on Nacho Libre's head. But not today. Not today. God's not done with you. He'll send you a whisper. He'll send a storm. He'll send a fish. But he won't cancel you. We don't serve a God who specializes in disqualification. We serve a God who specializes in restoration. I'm living proof. The word of the Lord is coming again today. Where are you right now? Famous artist unveiled a masterpiece in a gallery. People traveled from all over to see it. Critics praised it. Cameras flashed. But one night, someone vandalized the painting. Slashed it with a knife, damaged it, ruined it. The gallery closed. The headlines spread. Everyone assumed it was finished. But instead of discarding the painting, the artist took it back to his studio. For weeks, nobody saw it. It seemed like the masterpiece was over. Well, it's gone into hiding. It's back there in the storage bin. Nobody's ever going to see it again. But when the artist brought it back, he hadn't just repaired it. He'd woven the scars into the design. The places that were slashed became part of the story. The damage became more depth. The scars became testimony. And some critics even said that the restored version was more powerful than the original. Some of you this morning feel like vandalized paintings. You are called, you are gifted, you are anointed, but somewhere along the way, you ran. You failed. You fell. You disobeyed. And you assumed that God hung you in the used-to-be part of the gallery. You assumed that God couldn't move in your life anymore because of all the things you had done. But our God doesn't throw away the people that he calls. God doesn't throw away what he calls. He takes you back into the studio. The storm was the studio. The fish was the studio. The waiting was the studio. And when he brings you back, he doesn't hide your scars. He redeems them. We did a whole series here during COVID called... I lost the name of it. All of a sudden, flew out of my mind. Beautifully Broken. Based on that kintsugi art that happens in Japan where a piece of crockery is broken and they mend it with gold and the cup is considered more valuable because it was broken and then restored. If you haven't listened to that series, you need healing in your life. That's a great place. During the storms that I've been through the last couple of years, I went back and I listened to those messages over and over again. As God restored my heart, as God restored my being. God doesn't hide your scars. He redeems them. The same God who spoke to Jonah in chapter 1, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh, said it again after the storm, after the rebellion, after the fish. He gave him a second chance. Here's my message to you today. You are not disqualified. That's why I call this the big comeback. Because some of you came in here and you sit and you listen every Sunday and you think, that's great, Jerry. All these other people are really perfect and all these other people have it all together, but I'm just a mess. Welcome to the club. It's big and not very distinguished. You sit here and you think, oh, I wish I could live out those things. You know what? You can. You're not disqualified. You're being restored. And the God of Jonah is still in the business of second chances. Do not give up. Do not stop. You might be in the belly of the fish today. You might be in the storm. You might be running. But God is going to give you a second chance. God wants to restore you. God wants to use you. Don't give up. God, thanks. We love you, Father. God, I have no idea the grace that you have for me. I can't fathom the depth of the grace you have for me. But God, it must be immense because I can make a mess of stuff. But God, you look at our lives and you offer us a second chance. Not condemnation. Yeah, we might get some bumps along the way, but God, even those are going to be redeemed by your grace and your mercy and your love. Father, speak to us today. Restore us, God. Open our hearts to hear from you. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Wherever you find yourself today, if you're running, if maybe God's given a call and you're trying to figure out what to do with it, if you find yourself in the storm, or maybe you're in the belly of the fish and you are going through it, God is here to reclaim you. God is here to recall you. You're not disqualified. The only way you can fail is by giving up. Father, speak to hearts right now. God, there's healing happening right now. God, in hearts that were broken, hearts that were in turmoil, God, you're beginning the process of restoration. You're taking our rebellion and turning it to obedience. You're taking our hurt and refining it with gold. Taking our scars and making us more beautiful. Oh God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Just take a moment, folks. We're not in a hurry. Just take a moment. God's working in some of you right now. I can hear it, feel it. God, thanks. Thanks. When everybody else would have left us, God, you never abandoned us. When everybody else counted us out, we were always in the hollow of your hand. God, thank you. Thank you. Bless us now, God. I pray that you'll restore us this week. As we go through the week, Satan will try and give us those thoughts again about how bad we are. But all I have to remember, God, is that you are in the restoration business. Thanks. Thanks, God. In your name we ask it. Man. This week, Satan's going to come. He's going to throw your past up to you. All right, that's fine. I was in the belly of the fish, but I'm been restored. God gave me a second chance, and I'm taking it. Okay? Take control this week. Let God work in your life. Let's see what God does. There's going to be some great testimonies coming out of restoration. I believe that. Amen? Love you guys more than you could possibly know. Have a great week.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You've been